Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
John Grayson in for Joe Beamer. It is a Wednesday, our final get-together for the week, and boy, is it going to be a good one. We've got a whole lot going on. We are obviously monitoring events out of Minneapolis right now in the aftermath of the shooting that happened at Annunciation School there. But we want to start the show in a very different direction than that, because we talked yesterday, as a matter of fact, about the stories that were beginning to come out about what happened Friday in the aftermath of the tour bus crash on the Thruway. And one of those stories, and we talked a lot about this one yesterday, is that of a young man by the name of Aiden Jerome, a United States Marine, who happened to be driving by in the minutes just after the crash and did some absolutely incredible things on Friday afternoon. And we were able to get in touch with Aiden Jerome. He has been kind enough to join us on the line to do a little talking about everything that went down that day. Aiden Jerome, sir, thank you so much for being with us.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm so honored to be able to talk to you and everyone else here today.
The honor is ours. And I want to start in a kind of an odd direction. We'll get to what you went through on Friday and what all of the people around you went through on Friday. But before we do that, I'm curious, because we mentioned at the beginning, you are a United States Marine. Why did you join the Corps?
I joined the Marine Corps because I saw it as, my dad was in the Army for 25 years, and that really inspired me. I really appreciate that way of life and kind of how it builds you into a better person. And, I'm not going to lie, as a kid, I saw the dress blue uniform, and it really caught me, caught my attention. And they're amazing, amazing uniforms, and just what they stand for, esprit de corps, honor, courage, and commitment. All those things mean so much to me, just my normal morals going through life. So it just aligned with my character and my person, and I love the Marine Corps wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I had a feeling that your answer was going to go along those lines, and it seems to me you were a pretty good person before you joined up. So let's fast forward to Friday, and you were just driving home, right?
Yes, sir. I was working in Buffalo. I work with Fire and Security Systems civilian-wise because I'm a Marine Corps reservist, so they allow you to have a civilian career, go through school or just work a job, and then you could do your Marine Corps duties on the weekends.
Right.
So I was working in Buffalo doing a couple of Wegmans stores, and I started my drive home about an hour and a half back to Palmyra, and I take I-90, so I was just driving home after finishing up early, and I was just minutes behind that crash happening, and when I saw it, that's when I pulled over and saw all those people on the road, and that's why I wanted to help. I saw all those people. I saw no first responders there, so...
Yeah, and it wasn't even a second thought for you. It was, this car's getting pulled over. I'm going to go see what I can do.
Yes, sir. I was in my work van on my way home, and I saw those people. And they, like I said in the news interview, those people looked like they were in their darkest hour and going through absolutely horrible times. And I was hoping I could do whatever I could do to help those people.
Did you have any indication? I mean, it was obvious what had happened. The bus had rolled over. But, I mean, did you have any indication in the initial of what had happened, of how that bus had ended up in that ditch?
I had absolutely no clue. And at that point in time, all I saw were the people scattered throughout the road and hurt and needing help. So that's all I needed to know was people were hurt, people were in danger, and they needed help.
What was your first inclination to do? Because, I mean, I can understand in the aftermath of something like that, you get those people that are walking around, they're disoriented, they don't really know what just happened, they're not really sure why they're walking around on the side of a roadway like that when just moments before they were enjoying a tour bus having gone to Niagara Falls. So did you have... a plan in mind, or is it just a matter of, okay, we're going to do, this is first aid training. I've got to go back to my first aid training. I'm going to find triage, find the worst injured and do what I have to do for them.
Exactly right. There was really no game plan. Honestly, I got out of the work van and I just rushed in and I tried to sort people out, kind of get an idea of, okay, is there anyone who isn't injured that could help me in trying to get these people that are trapped inside the bus? Is there any way we can get them further away from the crash? Is there any way we can get them off this broken glass that was everywhere? Can we get them out of the roadway?
Wow.
But it was so chaotic because everybody on that bus was injured in some way. It was really heartbreaking, especially to see children walking around and personal belongings everywhere. Little kids' shoes and bracelets and phones and purses just scattered everywhere. I had no idea that the bus completely rolled because when I got there, it was just on its side.
Yeah.
So I figured it just flopped over on its side. I didn't even know it did a whole roll and people were ejected. I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah, and
it was my...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry.
No, please. Continue.
Yeah, I just... My instincts were to try to get people away into a safe area, try to help who I could immediately, and then try to get people out of the wreckage because, you know, flip vehicles do crazy things sometimes and you don't know if the engine's starting, you don't know if there's gas leaking, you don't know what, you know, possible dangers there were. So I did what I could with people that were hurt when I initially got there. I focused on trying to get people that were entrapped out.
Boy, and I'm glad you said that because, you know, we see the pictures on the news and we don't see what a dangerous, dangerous situation that is. I mean, you mentioned the broken glass a minute ago. That hadn't even occurred to me that you've got people who are walking around on broken glass. So as you're in the middle of all of this and you're trying to organize things and get help, at what point did first responders get there? How long were you there before the first fire trucks got there?
You know, I'd honestly just have to guess. I think I saw police cars starting to roll up within 5 minutes of me being there.
Okay.
But after that, it was just, I was less focused on backup arriving. I was right in it. And it wasn't too long after I got there that I was alerted to the woman trapped underneath the wheel on the opposite side of the bus, which is where I spent the remainder of my time. Well, not the entire time, but I did spend a majority of my time with trying to dig her out and support the first responders that were there in any way possible.
Yeah, and this is the absolutely incredible part of the story. So you're already going above and beyond, I think, what most of us would even be capable of doing. And then you were alerted to the woman, as you said, that was trapped underneath the bus. How did that happen? How did you become aware of her?
Yeah, so the bus was flipped on its side with the undercarriage facing the oncoming traffic going eastbound on I-90. So that's what I initially saw rolling up, and I parked beyond the bus, which is the roof. So as I was organizing people and realizing there's still people trapped inside the bus, I ran over to the bus, and there's a single roof hatch. So I peek inside the roof hatch, and there's people lined in front of me that are trapped, that are, you know, trying to get out in whatever way they can, but they're really stuck in there. So I began trying to figure out a way to get inside the bus to try and get these people out. And then a passenger or whoever came over and tapped me on the arm and alerted me that there was a woman trapped underneath the bus on the opposite side. So we went around the bus, and, you know, he told me she can't breathe, she's having trouble, and she's in a horrible spot. So we go around the underside of that bus, and I look, and she's got like at least an inch between this wheel on the undercarriage side of the bus and the ground, and she's just covered in dirt. And I had no tools with me at the time. I just had my hands and my gloves. So I started trying to dig around her as much as I could to give her room to be able to breathe. So I started digging around her. She was able to breathe a little bit better. And that's when I basically just began to comfort her and try to wait on additional support. So at that time, I had another volunteer firefighter and some other people come over to me and kind of try to assess the situation for first responders that were coming on the scene. And we were all in agreement, like, we need tools to be able to dig her out. And that's also when I realized there was two other people behind that woman underneath the wheel. Sadly, they were pronounced dead on scene, but we did everything we could to try and comfort her in her very uncomfortable predicament underneath that tire.
Yeah. And we've also been told that most of the people on the bus were from the Indian subcontinent and Southeast Asia, and there were language barriers and things like that that were going on. Was she conscious and able to speak, and did she speak any English? Could you communicate with her at all?
Yes. We were talking. I was trying to keep her mind off of her predicament and try to have a normal conversation with her, even though that's a very hard thing in that situation. I would say absolute kudos to her in that situation. She was very, very strong. And we talked about her coming here for schooling. She said she went to Columbus University. I didn't pick up her age, and I couldn't quite understand her name. I believe she said Yerksi or something along those lines, but she was Chinese, at least that I could tell. And we just kind of tried to communicate, talk about something other than the situation, but she was very afraid, very worried, and was in a horrible position.
Yeah, and at the same time, you've got to be concerned about the extent of her injuries. With her being trapped under the wheel like that, could you tell how badly she had been injured? I mean, it's good that she's still talking, but was she communicating to you about pain anywhere or anything like that?
She said that she could feel her extremities, and I saw her moving her hands and being able to at least, you know, move her fingers around and stuff like that. So it didn't seem that she was, you know, too badly injured from her position, but at the same time, she was pinned underneath the bus, so it was very hard to tell. I do know that, you know, after hours of her being in that situation and firefighters eventually being able to lift the bus with the wreckers and the struts they put on each side to support it and the airbags underneath to get all the other entrapped victims out from underneath the bus, that she came out breathing and alive, and she did end up saying thank you to some of the volunteer firefighters around her and everybody else. So it was very, very relieving to see that and see that outcome.
Wow.
And during that time, I was away from her because they started to take over and they all had, you know, PPE equipment on. And so from that moment on, I chose to try and help out however I could since I was still there. So I was running waters and Gatorades and oxygen tanks all around to the firefighters and first responders on site and trying to pick up the area and just support in any way I could, bringing medical supplies or whatever I could do to help while I was there.
That's so fantastic. And now I want to know, you know, we fast forward in time again into Friday evening, given the fact that you had had that experience specifically with her and trying to dig her out and just keep her alive. When the announcement was made on Friday late afternoon that everyone who had gone to the hospital was expected to survive, tell me how that hit you.
You know, it's hard to put into words, I'd have to say. very relieving. And of course, there were still lives lost, and it is still a very traumatic experience for everyone involved.
Sure.
It's very relieving to know that so many lives were saved and that so much was done, and we could help out as much as we could. But it was mainly the first responders. I mean, everybody there had a role to play, and everyone did it amazingly. And I was able to see it up close, even though it wasn't even my job.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that I was able to have a hand in it at all.
So are we. So are we. And so is she, by the way. And I'm curious, how long did you end up staying?
I was there for approximately 3.5 hours, maybe more. They say the bus crashed somewhere around 12:20. I believe I pulled up minutes after the crash. And I stayed... And I don't even know by the time I left. I'd say it was around 3.5 to 4 hours I was there.
I want to ask you another philosophical question, and it just has to do with the fact that I know you didn't wake up Friday morning thinking, I'm going to go do something heroic today, but you did. And I know now in the aftermath, you've had some time to reflect not only on the crash itself, but just on your part of this. And... I guess my question is something along the lines of, have you thought about why you? You know, we hear from people that tragedies happen to, and they're like, why me? You were there in the right place to do what you did. Have you thought about that, about your place in all of this, in this entire story, and just the completely random nature of the right person being in the right place at the right time?
You know, that it's funny you bring that up. I have absolutely no clue why God put me there that day at that time. And, you know, I started this job where I travel a lot for work. I started this job a year ago. And to think if I picked up any other job, I'd probably be going to an office every day in the same place, 30 minutes from home. You know, I was over an hour away from home when I came across this crash. And, you know, 22 has been my favorite number for my lucky number, my favorite number since I was a kid. So to me, it's just crazy how the stars aligned that day at that time, how I got out of work early and was driving home from Buffalo. You know, there's no other explanation than that's just where I was put in my timeline. And I'm glad I was able to do something when I was put there.
Well, Aiden, I am, first of all, again, so glad and honored that you were able to join us on the program today to tell some of this story. And again, proud and honored to have you as a member of our community. You are a credit not only to the area, but you're a credit to your uniform as well. And in my mind, the living embodiment of Semper Fidelis. Thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for doing what you did.
Thank you so much for all the kind words. I truly appreciate it. And I couldn't ask for anything. And you guys have done an absolutely amazing job at reinforcing and supporting me and letting me know that the country is still whole, regardless of all the horrible things that have been going on lately and how tough life has been. So I truly appreciate everybody giving their well wishes. And it's very nice. Thank you all.
You got that right, my brother. Thank you again for joining us. That again is Aiden Jerome. I was impressed by the story. I mean, I was impressed by the reading the news story about that. After that conversation, I am just, again, elated to have somebody like that living around us. And we mentioned this with David Bellavia a little while ago. If this changes any thought at all about, you know, generational shifts and all of that, because we talked a little bit about that yesterday as well. He is 21 years old and was able to go through that incredible ordeal and gave up 3.5 hours of his Friday afternoon to just do what he did. And I didn't know that bit about going around and finding water and all of that for the first responders until he said that just now. So, again, I don't know how you can be anything but absolutely impressed with that young man. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to shift gears. We will, in fact, go back and get the latest on what's happened in Minneapolis in the aftermath of yet another shooting at yet another school, this time a Catholic school, Annunciation School in Minneapolis. Two young people, ages 8 and 10, were killed while they were kneeling to pray in a church at a church school in Minneapolis. And dozens, or over a dozen others, were injured in that shooting. So we'll talk a little bit about that, get you up to speed with the latest details from Minneapolis, and plenty more as time goes on. If you want to get in to make comment, you're more than welcome to do so, either on the text line or on the phone. 803-0930 is the number to call. 803-0930. John Grayson in for Joe Beamer. It's a Wednesday, and there's plenty more of it on the way.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors. From fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
John Grayson in for Joe Beamer on this Wednesday afternoon here on WBEN, and it's your turn. 803-0930 is the phone number to call, 803-0930. You can hit us up on the text line with that number as well. And yes, there was this morning another, unfortunately, mass shooting at a school, this time in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. At Annunciation School, and you just heard the news update about it. 17 injured, 2 killed. Two killed plus the shooter who took his own life. We don't know very much about him yet, except for the fact that he's in his early 20s. Don't know if he has connections to the area. Don't know if he has connections to the school. There is a name that's floating around out online right now. These things don't tend to stay quiet for very long. It is an odd sort of macabre piece of all of this, that the delay that happens now between a suspect or a shooter in a case like this being identified and that identification being made known to the public, that didn't used to be there. And the reason that it exists now is because of social media. They want to make sure, the authorities do, that before you and I have a chance to go through and find his social media pages, wherever they may be, that they have a chance to get in touch with Meta or, whoever owns which social. I can't keep them straight anymore. They buy and sell each other all the time. But get in touch with all the social media companies so that they can strip that content down offline and then, you know, release what they want when they want. But they don't want us doing it. So for whatever reason, that's why there's always a delay of a couple of hours between an incident like this and the name, the identity of the shooter being made public. I would expect to have that sometime probably this afternoon. You and I may still be together once that happens, once it's officially out. And the other reason not to go with the stuff that shows up online, by the way, is it's frequently wrong. So I'd rather not be that. But, you know, I find myself in a kind of a difficult position with all of this because, I mean, if you want to get in and talk, you're more than welcome to join in, 803-0930. But, I mean, what is there left to say? Honestly, what is there left to say about incidents like this when they happen? Because we go through the same. I was listening to a good friend of mine early this morning who was talking some about this in another town. And you know, I felt exactly the same way he did. It's just, we've done this so many times, and there's this weird dance that takes place where we hear about, oh, there was a mass shooting somewhere. Oh, no. What are the numbers? And we wait for the numbers to come in. How many dead? How many wounded? And I honestly don't know why. I mean, human nature, right? It's just, it's human curiosity. We want to know the scope of the story. So I kind of get it at that level. But tell me one kid being shot in a school isn't enough. You know, that's not already horrible and tragic, because of course it is. But when you have a situation like this, where it ends up being 17 injured and 2 killed, it allows us to kind of, I don't know, to put it in a box, to assimilate it into our experience and say, oh, well, that was better than Sandy Hook, but worse than, you know, whatever. And it doesn't really make any difference, is what I'm saying. So the situations end up with the exact same things being said, with the exact same bumper stickers being yelled at each other, and with the exact same sets of feelings. And then that fades and we sit and wait for the next one. And I don't think that's going to change. I would love to tell you, oh, I think in this case, this is going to be the thing that makes that change. It won't. Because we don't seem to have any stomach to do anything about it. Or any ideas, you know? And I think that's part of the landscape as well, because every idea that's a broad sweeping change has got some problems. So, you know, there are things we can do and things we can't do. But what should the response to something like this be? I don't know. All it makes me want to do is talk to my kids. So, I mean, I feel like there's something more we can do. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you, and I've got all the answers, because I don't. I would love to be in that position to have all the answers and tell you, oh, I know how to fix this. It's easy. It isn't. So, I mean, I think where it puts us is in a position to just cry it out until we can't anymore and then wait. So, I mean, this is not what I had planned for today, you know, and I know it isn't for you either. And it certainly isn't for any of the family and the friends and the people who go to that school and the people who live in Minneapolis who are having to deal with this happening in their backyard. And I mean, you remember what it was like following the Tops shooting. We were all horrified. How, not here, of all places, not here. And again, that only really makes a difference if you live here. Because it's not just here. Where hasn't this happened at this point, right? So, yeah, we tend to take it personally. And again, that's nothing more than human nature. But I'm sure they're going through that same thing right now. You're going to hear, and that's the other part of the dance. You're going to hear all of the disbelief of all of the neighbors. Oh, things like that just don't happen around here. And I think that's a part of the mentality that we need to get rid of and recognize, yes, it does. And if it hasn't yet, the clock is counting. So, I know that's kind of dark, and it's not a very happy outlook, but it's not a very happy situation either. I will never. My other curiosity with this, sorry to interrupt myself, but and we will get to the phones here in just a second. I will never be able to understand. Let me see if I can figure out a way to put this into words. The machinations that we go through when we feel helpless about things like this, and I think that's what a lot of it is. I mean, that's why you hear people say, oh, I'm sending thoughts and prayers, because that's all we can think of to do. When we feel this kind of helpless, why it tends to lead to inaction, where you think, okay, I feel helpless, we should all get together and talk about a way to fix this, something to do about it, and yet it just never seems to occur. So with that, we will go to the phones. If you've got something you want to say, if you want to chime in on this, by all means, 803-0930 is the number. We'll kick it off in Tonawanda, where Mark is standing by. Hey, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Well, welcome in.
Well, here we go again. Unfortunately, just like you said, this will not be the last one. Until people get serious, you have to beef up security. I say it over and over and over. I don't mean some guy with a white shirt. Armed security. Now, I did some research. I'm hearing now, I don't know if it's true or not, that this idiot actually had 2x4s in plywood barricading the doors.
To keep the doors shut, yeah.
From the outside. Mm-hmm. Nobody's seen that with cameras? I mean, these people are pretty much telling you, until you get serious and you're going to shoot back, we're going to keep coming after you. We're going to keep killing your kids.
I
don't understand what the disconnect. Well, why, I mean, if that happened and this guy had plywood and he's writing no escape on 2x4s, putting them on a door, nobody's seen that.
Yeah.
Nobody questioned the vehicle going on the property and saying, hey, what are you doing? Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah, and you know,
unbelievable.
I can understand, and I'm certainly not going to argue with you about security. But what I'm talking about is getting to a place where it isn't needed.
Yeah, but how do you do that?
Good question.
These people are out there.
But
here's the other thing. Just a week in Washington, everybody's crying about the National Guard. Look what they did. They took 100 and some guns off the street. It's not about the weapons. This country is flooded with weapons. Everybody needs to put their pride aside and say, guess what? We got a problem. We made a mistake years ago. People got weapons in this country from God knows where. So you can't say, oh, we're going to start the gun rage again. The guns are out there. It's the people squeezing the trigger, and they are coming at you full speed ahead. And the only way for you to stop this is to realize it, swallow your pride, realize there's a problem, and shoot back.
All right,
that's
Mark,
it.
Thank
that's
you.
It.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Yeah, appreciate you getting in, buddy. Listen, and that's what bothers me about that. And, like I said, we are in a position right now. He's absolutely right. We are in a position right now where we need better security at schools across the board. Of course, who's going to pay for it, right? It's part of the problem. And listen, if you want to say, hey, raise my taxes and go put security in the schools, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Absolutely. Put it on a ballot. I'll vote for it. But we're not there yet. And he says, swallow your pride and give up the guns. Good luck selling that one, right? I mean, this country's been having that argument since well before you and I were born. So we can't do that. But, when it's a situation where I say, okay, I would love to see this country get back to the place where we wouldn't need armed security, where we wouldn't need the National Guard in the streets of Washington, D.C. We wouldn't need any of that because we grew up without it. You and I did. I went to Longfellow Elementary School in Kenmore and Washington for a year. Okay? We didn't have guards. Are you kidding? My security was Mrs. Peltol, my kindergarten teacher. That was, yeah, and she was, I think, 60-something. So, but I mean, at that point, the idea of needing armed security in an elementary school was laughable. If you had, look, in 1977, if you had gone up to the people running that school and said, this idea, you know what they used to do? Because we didn't have air conditioners. So in late August, or we didn't go back until early September. It keeps backing up. But yeah, we didn't start until after Labor Day. But in early September and late in the year, because we were always there because of snow days until like June 4th or something stupid like that. And there were no air conditioners. So what they would do is that school is in a T shape. Okay. And actually, I don't even know if it's a school anymore. I think they changed it to something else, but it's in a T shape. So you walk in the front door and to the left is the cafeteria. And then there's this long hallway that goes down the right where all the classrooms are. So they would take the front doors and the side doors and the back doors and just open them. And all the doors to the classrooms were all wide open. And it turned out funny in some cases as well, because every now and again, a dog would wander in. And you want to talk about a way to make a classroom full of third graders completely lose its mind? Have a dog run into the classroom, okay? But it did. And the point is, you could have gone in. Anybody could have gone in. Anybody could have gone in and done anything they want, but they didn't. And the very idea of it was anathema. It was not even anathema is not the right word. It was silly to think that you needed to put security at a school. What for? So now we know what for. But the thing is, we lived in a time where it wasn't needed. So I know it's possible. I know it's possible. And keep in mind, by the way, that the shooting that took place at Parkland, that was Sandy Hook, the one that took place in Florida, in South Florida, in the Miami area, the high school that was shot up by a former student. Why can I not remember the name of that school? Anyway, when that happened, there was armed security there. He was a coward, but he was there. So, you know, it's not always a panacea. And we can put cameras up everywhere and we can have everybody, but you got to pay people to watch them. You have to pay people to monitor that stuff. Same thing with security guards. You've got to pay that. And as I said before, I'm not against it, but if it's possible for us to live in a world where we don't have to constantly worry about the next time this is going to happen, what have we saved ourselves? Grief, pain, death. I think it's worth it, at least to have the discussion. Let's go to Lancaster where Paul is listening in. Hello, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Couldn't be better, Paul. What's on your mind?
Well, just the fact that, I mean, I'm in no way defending this kid, so I'm a full carry pistol permit owner, 27 years correction officer. And so, like, when I'm out in the world, like, that's the last thing I want to have to do. But when it comes to kids or people, like, that are helpless, defenseless, like, well, then I'm going to respond. You know what I mean? And
sure.
And I agree with Mark, the prior caller. It's just so sad. There had to have been red flags. I mean, big-ass red flags, like, huge red flags on this kid. And nobody chose to... idea of snitches get stitches or whatever, that's gotta yeah. die. That's gotta die, that whole mindset. I mean, it's just sad. Like, I'm sitting here, like, I'm gonna go inside when I'm off the phone with you and pray. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah, I know. And unfortunately, that's many times all we can do. But you're right. Yeah. And think about this, because we're also eventually, probably anyway, should they still be living, we're gonna hear from his parents. And we're going to hear some of the same defenses. We're going to hear some, we knew he was having some problems, but we never thought he'd do anything like this. When you're close to it like that, nobody wants to believe that they could have given birth to somebody who would do this.
Yeah, yeah, that's the and my heart goes out to them too. Yeah. I mean, and you know, now the kid himself took his own life, and it's just, man, I like. Where people are going to be in rehab for years, like, man. Hey, you're doing a great job, I have to say.
Oh, Paul, you're kind to say so. Thank you. And thanks very much for calling into the program. We will shift gears. We'll keep our eye out for updates on anything pertinent that comes out of Minneapolis, but we are going to move into some other directions after the top of the hour because, frankly, I just can't. As I said before, it's exhausting and it's repetitive and, you know... the situation is one that we are all too familiar with. And Yeah, that's really all I can say about it, is that, you know, we're going down this same road over and over and over again. So we will move into some other directions after the top of the hour, like I said. If you want in to do some talking with us on this Wednesday, this will be our last get-together for who knows. You know, one of these days, somebody else may take some vacation and you and I will get back together. But at least for this go-around, this will be it. So we'll just do some open phones next hour. And I've got some stories to throw at you. We've got plenty to talk about. And there's one in particular. You know what I wanted to do today? And maybe we will get into some of this after the top of the hour. I have a good friend who every year, right around this time, and in fact, she's probably there now. I haven't checked her Facebook page yet, goes to Burning Man. And I will admit that there was a time, oh, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago when I was a younger man. And I thought, boy, you know, that looks kind of cool. It's this big wild party out in the middle of the desert, and everybody has a great time, and it's a bunch of weirdos, and it's a bunch of the people that I like, you know? It's a bunch of artsy, weird, out there. I love those people. I mean, if you're a weirdo, you and I are friends immediately, because I'm not. I mean, I'm about as dull a human being off the air. I hope I'm not that dull on the air. I'm doing my best. But yeah, my life, I love it. Listen, there is nothing I love better than sitting on the couch with my wife, watching TV, and, you know, she's got something that she's doing on her phone, and I've got something that I'm doing with an amplifier in front of me, and we're just sitting there and enjoying each other and enjoying the evening. I mean, that is gold to me. I just love that. So it's like, yeah, wild child Grayson, right? No. But there was a time when I thought that might be a good idea. I have had that squeezed out of me every single molecule, because every year, it seems, it's an unmitigated disaster. I mean, Burning Man is just, as a matter of fact, I think it was either last year or the year before, my friend who I was talking about, who goes every year, we had her on the air because it was the first time she had taken her teenage son with her to Burning Man, and it was flooded. I mean, it was miserable weather. The whole thing was wrecked. It took people days to get out of that desert. And it was a horrible ordeal. She still had a good time, because she never doesn't have a good time. But yeah, it was just awful. Well, guess what? Burning Man's going on, and it's awful. Monsoon winds that have, and I swear to you, I'm not making this up, that have blown down the orgy tent. You can't make that up, okay? I want to know how many people were in it and what they were doing when the orgy tent came down. And could you tell from the outside? So that happened. There's floods. It's a miserable, miserable ordeal again. And look, I don't wish ill on anybody. Like I said, these are my people who are out there. It's the weirdos that I really dig. But, I mean, how many times do you have to have that thing fall apart and become nothing but chaos before you go, you know, should we really do this again next year? Because this isn't a lot of fun right now. And it just blows me away that people still do it. But hey, what are you going to do? We'll get into that and some more after the top of the hour. So stick with us. John Grayson in for Joe Beamer. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Plenty more on the way. Stick with us on 930 WBEN. Just a little bit after 2, John Grayson in for Joe Beamer on this Wednesday afternoon. Glad to have you along. Really am glad to have you along. Thank you so much for joining the program. And you can call in if you so desire. 803-0930. That also works on the text line if you want to do it that way. A couple of things. I know I said we were going to shift gears. There has been more released about what happened in Minneapolis earlier today. Most notably, the identity of the shooter. You don't know him. He's 23-year-old Robin Westman, who lives, well, I don't, we don't know yet where he lives. It's noteworthy, though, that his father lives less than a mile from the school. Now, you could take that to mean that he, at age 23, still probably lives at home, but I can't confirm that, or that he was at the home. The home has been cordoned off with crime scene tape, which probably means that the authorities are inside searching, seeing if there's any evidence, any more weapons, any more. There were smoke bombs, I think they said that he had. Initially, it was reported that there were explosive devices. There were not. The police said that during a press conference a couple hours ago. But they are at that home. Whether they are also present at any other locations in and around the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, we do not yet know. But TMZ was one of the first to report on this. There was kind of a curiosity, too, a weird one, that somebody's going to have to explain to me how these things work. Because when you go online and there's a big, you know, breaking news story or something like that, and you do a Google News search of, you know, bring me all the latest stuff on this, which is, yes, how a lot of us do it. You know, got to keep on top of this. And what I'm really doing is looking for multiple different sources to confirm something. You know, multiple different news outlets to confirm something before I go with it, because they're sometimes wrong, too, usually individually. And, you know, we know how that goes. So when you do that, it'll give you a list of stories. You always get these blocks of headlines plus a little bit of a teaser on the story. And then it'll tell you how old that news is. You know, it'll say this was from 13 minutes ago, or this was from 90 minutes ago, or this was from 8 hours ago. So you know where, you know, which ones to click on to get the latest information. There's an article, and I don't want to fire up the conspiracy theorists. I really don't, because I think most of that stuff is bunk anyway. But this is weird. There's an article from Channel 5 in Minneapolis under the headline "Mass Shooting at Annunciation Church." And that's on the slug, you know, below the TV image of him. And then underneath that, it says what we know about the Annunciation Church shooter. And it's dated 18 hours ago. When those little bugs pop up and tell you on Google, specifically on Google, that tell you how old a news story is, where does that information come from? Because I'm sitting here trying to figure out how a story dated 18 hours ago could be about something that happened roughly 6 hours ago. So that's weird. That's the only one, by the way. Here, let me click more news and see if I can confirm that. Yeah, 41 minutes ago, 47 minutes ago, 35 minutes ago, 18 minutes ago, 18 hours ago. Okay. Now, what we know about him, about the shooter, is really rather limited at this point. Like I said, we don't even know that he lived at the house that's being searched right now. But the Minneapolis Star Tribune, which is the newspaper of record in that area, said that they called a number for his mother and that she answered the phone crying, but then told them she couldn't, she didn't know whether her son was actually the shooter. So, I mean, look, she's in a rough spot, and the reporters are as well. I know people get upset about this stuff. They're doing their job. They're doing what they are supposed to be doing. I know, listen, there are so many things that we see happen, especially in TV news. I'm not the world's biggest fan of TV news. There are some really good TV news reporters out there, but a lot of them aren't. And we know what happens. Something tragic happens, and a reporter sticks a microphone in somebody's face and says something along the lines of, well, you just lost a child. How are you feeling right now? Oh, come on. How do you think they're feeling right now? They're wrecked. They're devastated. Their world has been torn apart, and they haven't even assimilated what just happened. There. Now you never have to ask that question ever again. But I know there are people who get upset about, you know, why are they bothering that woman right now? Let her alone. I mean, because in the grand scheme of things, she just lost a son, too. Granted, it was at his own hand, and it's because he's a coward. But still, I mean, she's not having the best day. However, they can't not make the attempt. That's their job. So, and I know that. I say that. In fact, that leads me to a story that I'll tell you here in just a second. But because sometimes that can trip you up and it can get you in a lot of trouble. But for a while, that was my job. Early on in my career, while I was still a producer of talk shows and a line producer and all of this stuff, every so often I would be called upon to produce our station's morning show. This was down in Tampa. And that show was 4 hours long. and it was there were four segments an hour, just to give you an idea of what the clock looked like for that show. That's industry speak. That was our clock. And so each one of those segments was guested. And, you know, there were newsmaker interviews, and sometimes there was, a quick celebrity interview or something like that thrown in. As an example, 3 days after Tyson Holyfield 2, the ear-biting fight, remember that one, kids? Ask your parents. They'll tell you all about it. But 3 days after that fight, I had Evander Holyfield on the air with my morning crew. It was blind luck. I mean, but it was a lot of legwork that went into it, but it just, things fell right into place. And that's the kind of stuff we would do. We'd book about half the show the day before, based on whatever was happening in the news, and about half of it the day of. So we were always making phone calls, opening the paper back when that was the only way that we could do it. And going online a little bit, because this is, early 90s we're talking about. And, finding these news stories and then finding the people that were in them and getting them on the air. So I know. I mean, I know that job is it's a tough job, and sometimes it gets you yelled at. There was another incident that happened, and I haven't even gotten to the story I was going to tell you yet. I was not directly involved in that one, but it is a pretty eye-opening one about how to do this job. Now I interrupted myself and forgot what I was about to tell you. I got yelled at one time right after September 11th. There was, I was doing my job. I was getting my show ready for the night. And I found a guy who was a professor and an expert in something related to it, some kind of aviation thing or some kind of terrorism thing or whatever. He had written a paper about whatever angle on it I wanted to cover. So I was like, oh, this guy's great. So I looked him up. He was a professor at a university, found his phone number, called him and said, hey, I'm me. I do this show for CBS and I'd love to have you on the air for us tonight or with us tonight. And he said, how did you get this number? And I said, dude, you're listed. And he hung up on me. So like I said, sometimes it was like, what do you mean? How did I get the number? You have a listed phone number. See, back in the old days, kids, your phone number was in a big book. A big thick book that had everybody's phone number in it. It was awesome. So yeah, now we don't, what's a listed phone number anymore? So anyway, there's that. But the story where it went completely off the rails is there was an incident that had happened in Tampa. And it was a horrible incident. Police officers had been shot and the guy was on the run and had barricaded himself inside a business. And we knew, based on the police reports and based on news reports that were coming out, we knew the intersection. And one of our old kind of tricks of the trade, and this came in handy so many times, was to find, okay, what businesses are around? Is there like a convenience store or something like that that we can call the clerk and get them on the air and talk to them about what's happening? What are you seeing? How many police cars are there? Did you hear any gunfire? That sort of thing. It's like doing a man on the scene interview, but you're not there. They are, right? So that was kind of a trick that we used a lot to get interesting people on the air. And it was great because they were people who weren't polished radio professionals. They were just you and me. They were just guys, And having that sort of plain spoken recap of what's happening at the moment can really be a valuable thing. Well, this one afternoon, while this was going on and the police shooting had happened and the guy was barricaded inside and all of this, my boss, who was the producer of that morning show, found a convenience store that was at that intersection and called the number. And the guy who answered the phone was the shooter. That was the place where he was barricaded inside. Now, how did that get her in trouble? Well, we did put him on the air. And we had our news director, a wonderful, wonderful human being, who sadly has left us. His name was Don. And he was the unflappable, just incredible news guy. And he, here he is talking to somebody who is a suspect in the shooting of two police officers. And he's interviewing him live on the air. Well, the reason that's a problem is because what do the police do in a case where you've got somebody barricaded inside a building? Right. They have their hostage negotiator call. Well, they couldn't. The place didn't have call waiting, right? So the police are trying to call in. They keep getting a busy signal. Again, kids, ask your parents. They keep getting a busy signal, and you know, they're trying to get a hold of this guy to see, is there anybody dead inside the business? Is there anybody else in there with you? And they couldn't get through because we were interviewing him on the air. Now, there were no charges or anything related to that. It wasn't like obstruction of justice or anything. But you better believe that the next time we wanted to get the chief of police in Tampa on the air for an interview, he was not real eager to do it. Okay? So it's that kind of stuff. It is a fine line that you have to walk when you're doing that kind of work to make sure, because we're never supposed to become part of the story. And in that case, on that day, because frankly, it just didn't occur to us. I wasn't even there. I heard about all of this. I was still working there at the time, but I heard about all of this secondhand. So, in the moment, if you're the producer and all of a sudden, whoa, you went from hoping to get somebody who could see what was going on to having the guy who did it on the other end of the phone with you, the last thing you're going to think about is, oh, wait, what if the police are trying to call him? No, what you're thinking is, do I or don't I? Do I put this guy who is probably a double murderer on the air? Or is that some kind of ethical violation, right? And that's all that enters your mind. So it's not like we meant to get in the way, but we did. So, you know, it is fraught. I don't blame that person, whoever that reporter was for the Minneapolis Star Tribune, who had to make that phone call and try to get a hold of the suspected shooter's mother. I don't envy them that position, because, again, you kind of know what sort of answers you're going to get. And she did not say anything. As far as we know, she didn't say anything beyond that. She didn't say beyond just saying, okay, I don't know if he's the shooter or not, and then hanging up the phone. Was there more to that conversation? If so, they haven't said so. But if there was, it obviously wasn't anything of real news value, because they would have put that out there too. So again, if you missed the details on this, shooting happened earlier this morning while the kids were in chapel before school, and there were 17 injured and two students at the school, and I say kids advisedly, they were 8 and 10, who were killed, and the shooter took his own life. And that really, I guess, is the only thing that I have left to say about this in toto is, look, I'm trying to figure out a good way to get this across. I am not one who thinks of suicide lightly in any way, okay? I don't take that subject lightly. I don't think anybody does. Thankfully, and let me go back into the memory banks, I have had many friends that I've lost over the years, several of them while I was in high school, by the way, but none of them, to the best of my knowledge, took their own life, at least not on purpose. One of them did drug himself out, but I don't know that that was a suicide. It may just have been an overdose. But so I don't have any real direct connection to that world, but the entire idea of it just, it makes me very, very uneasy. And so I don't take it lightly. However, if you are bound and determined to take yourself out, leave everybody else out of it. And I don't understand that compulsion, because it happens over and over and over again. It happened at Sandy Hook. How many times have we seen Columbine? The Columbine one is particularly noteworthy because they had made plans. Remember that Harris and Klebold had made plans. They had plane tickets ready and all of this stuff. And no, at the end of it, they just shot each other, or one of them shot the other one and then shot himself. And if that's where you're going, I don't like it, but if that's where you're going, go. Just leave us alone. Why? The blaze of glory thing. And maybe, honestly, that's something that we've got to get to the bottom of as concerns all of this. And what do we do about it? Is find out what it is that underlies and underscores that compulsion. That not only am I going to go out in this quote-unquote blaze of glory, but I'm going to make sure everybody watches me by taking as many people as I can out with me. because at the end of the incident, you're still dead. So what's the point? You know, whatever. And this always struck me as a little bit curious as well, because I know there are people, and I understand, I'm not picking on you. I know there are people who get really upset when the names of people like this are put out in the press. They would rather not. It's the focus on the victim thing. Focus on the victim, not on the shooter, which is true, but human nature dictates that we don't. And I understand being upset by that, but the reason that's often given is you're making it look more glamorous to somebody who might consider doing that. You know, you may be influencing somebody else to follow in his footsteps. You make a star out of that guy, and you prove that he does have a name even beyond death. And that might influence somebody else to do it. If so, you're talking about somebody who is already so bent that they're going to go off. It's just a matter of, you know, time and place and method and all of that. So I don't know that necessarily certainly doesn't make me want to go out and do it. So I don't, as I said, I don't really understand that piece of it. But maybe if they can get down to that compulsion of, you know, why do you at age 23 want to go out at all, much less in a way that's going to, yes, have people say your name out loud, but it's not going to do you any good because you're not going to hear any of it. Just more to think about. All right, fun coming up, I promise. I know I made you that promise before the top of the hour and we got into this, but I didn't know this was going to come down. So off we go. We'll get into some more business. And if you want to jump in and just talk about whatever it is that happens to be on your mind this Wednesday afternoon, lines are open for you. 803-0930. Whatever's going on with you, you want to talk about Jordan Poyer coming back to the Bills? Have at it. 803-0930. Yes, Jordan Poyer was re-signed by the Bills today. So good news there, and a little more shoring up of the defensive backfield, much needed. And we're, you know, a little less than, a week and a half now? Yeah, it's a week and a half away from opening day, from the kickoff of the NFL season, from Baltimore coming to town and all of that. So life will have meaning again very, very soon. 803-0930, John Grayson in with you for Joe Beamer on a Wednesday. More on the way.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Into about the last 20 minutes of a Wednesday broadcast. John Grayson in for Joe Beamer today. We'll see if Joe wants to step in just a little while and do some talking about what he's got coming up later on today. And we'll get to your phone calls. We are kind of watching a little bit of everything. And we do have a couple of things to toss in your direction in the not too distant future. Not the least of which is why you need to check your ding dong for mold. But more on that just ahead. Right now, we will go to Ken, who is calling in from Niagara Falls. Morning, Ken. Or good afternoon, I should say.
That's okay. I get confused myself in this town.
No doubt. What's on your mind?
Hey, I was listening to your story. I'm a story writer. I tell stories. I've been to, 26 countries in the world. I got stories from all of them.
Oh, awesome.
I'm going to tell you one of the greatest stories, and I was in the Navy for, 13 years. But one of the greatest stories I ever heard was the one that you just told about calling up the, the guy that was wanted for murder.
Isn't that something?
It don't get no better than that.
Yeah, what a weird afternoon. And, I mean, you know that everybody was scrambling. Everybody was like, what are we going to do about this? And then all of a sudden, it all just kind of got squirrely.
Yeah, but in the end, nobody was chastised or anything, right?
Right. Yeah, there was a bit of a chilly relationship with the police department for a while, but that faded and everything is cool now. So, and that was a lot of years ago as well. That must have been like 98, I guess. So maybe, yeah, I might have been gone already by then.
Yeah, you're young. I have stories a lot older than from 1990.
Oh, no, I'm hip. But yeah.
But what happened thereafter?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that was, they eventually got him into custody. He went to jail. I wish I could remember his name, because, I mean, you can look up the story. My wife's listening. She'll probably text it to me here in a little while. So if she does, I will, because she was working for the state attorney's office at the time. So she was directly involved in bringing that guy to justice eventually once the cops got him.
Oh, you know, I mean, I don't need to know the name of anybody. It's probably one of my cousins anyhow.
All right. Hey, Ken, you're a gentleman and a scholar, buddy. I appreciate you calling in.
And you're very, 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 very good at what you do.
Oh, you're kind to say so. Man, that's nice. Okay, so here's why you want to check your ding-dong for mold. Well, first of all, I mean, for the obvious reason, nobody wants a moldy ding-dong. But no, this is true. Hostess, which is owned by, didn't Bebo buy them? I think, yeah, the Mexican confectioner Bebo, I think, is now the owner of Hostess Brands. Because I remember the Twinkie went away for a while, and then it came back. But they also, Hostess also makes ding-dongs and ring-dings and ho-hos and fruit pies. Do you remember, by the way, this is the weirdest thing to come up, but every time we get to talking about this, and Hostess does come up from time to time because I'm really a 7-year-old in adult's clothing. And I still love a good ho-ho every now and again. But, and again, kids, ask your parents. There was a time when, because ho-hos now, they come in these like plastic blister packs. They didn't used to. They used to be wrapped in aluminum foil. Remember that? They were like these little aluminum foil squares. But the great thing about Hostess back then was they had the most incredible TV commercials. They were great because they were all cartoons. And back then I actually was 7. So I really enjoyed them. And there were these characters like Fruit Pie the Magician and Captain Cupcake. And the ho-ho guy, he looked like Robin Hood, but I can't remember what his name was. Fruit Pie the Magician, Twinkie the Kid, Captain Cupcake, who was like a sea captain. And yeah, all these wild characters. I think people in the 70s did a lot of drugs, and yeah, I mean, all you have to do is watch one episode of H.R. Puff and Stuff, and you will know that that's the truth. Sid and Marty Croft, all the stuff that they did, Lidsville and the Bugaloos, I realize I'm getting away from the ding-dong story. I'll get back to it, I promise, but let me digress here. It makes me happy. But yeah, it was just a very bizarre time in terms of entertainment. And I remember sitting here as a kid, not right in this studio, but, you know, up the road a piece, and watching TV on Saturday mornings. And my favorite thing to happen was the commercials that came on for Honeycomb cereal. Come to the Honeycomb Hideout. And what the Honeycomb Hideout was, if you're too young to remember any of this, and these were live action, this was not cartoons, it was a bunch of kids up in a treehouse. And for some reason, every week, a professional wrestler would come by and visit the kids in the Honeycomb Hideout and tell them how they ought to eat more honeycomb. No reason given why a bunch of kids in a treehouse would get a visit from a professional wrestler. We were just supposed to accept that as reality. So we did. And the funny thing about that is back at that point in my life, I knew nothing about professional wrestling. I didn't know that's what those guys were. All I knew is that if you were in the Honeycomb Hideout, every so often, a really big dude dressed in the world's most bizarre clothing would come and hang out with you and eat honeycomb. So I this was my upbringing, which explains a lot about all of the psychotic ramblings that go on in my head most of the time, because you can't grow up normal having come from that. Now, back to the ding-dongs and the mold that may or may not be in them. Hostess Brands has issued a withdrawal notice, which is a recall. Is this out of Canada or something? Oh, no, this is Gizmodo. Withdrawal? I've never heard it called that before. Our root cause investigation confirmed a mechanical issue with a piece of equipment created conditions that could support the development of mold in the product prior to the expiration date. Oh, okay, so if they get moldy after the expiration date, it's perfectly fine. That's according to J.M. Smucker. That can't be a coincidence. The fact that a J.M. Smucker works for Hostess, so is there some kind of jam connection going on there too? Said in an announcement sent to retailers and also posted online. And yes, they've got all of the lot numbers and all of that that you're not going to know where to look for, because I don't either. Gizmodo goes on to say, withdrawals are voluntary actions by a given company and, here we go, and aren't technically considered a recall. Got it. Okay, because a recall is something you're forced to do. A withdrawal is a voluntary action, but they said it's something to take seriously if you believe you might have ding-dongs sitting in your cupboards. I'd give you the lot numbers, but you don't have a pen. Just go to Gizmodo and find the ding-dong story. You'll be fine. Anyone who finds ding-dongs in their home is encouraged not to consume them. You know, that actually sounds like good advice, even if they're not moldy. Yeah, it's not good for you. It's not good. Consumers are being encouraged to return the snacks to wherever they were purchased for a refund or replacement. All right, cool. So at least you're going to get your money back for your moldy ding-dongs. But please, do inspect your ding-dongs for mold. I think we'd all be a lot happier and a lot healthier if we could get through the rest of this life without having a moldy ding-dong. Now, with that, we go, where are we going here? North Liberty, Iowa. My first inclination is to make merciless fun of this woman, but honestly, this is a tragic, tragic story. Out of North Liberty, Iowa, and nobody was killed. It's not that kind of tragic. It's a different kind of tragic altogether. A woman in Iowa is facing multiple charges after asking gas station customers to blow into her interlock device. Yeah, you already know most of the rest of this story. She was hammered. She was trying to get her car moving. I have a question, though, because I have no experience with an interlock device, and we'll get to that in a minute. But yes, officers with the North Liberty Police Department were dispatched to a Quick Star, convenience store, gas station, whatever, where there was a report of a woman asking people to blow into her interlock device for her. Police found 34-year-old Christian State in the driver's seat of a running vehicle. When they arrived at the scene, according to a criminal complaint, she was the only one in the car, and they came up in standard issue, strong smell of alcohol, glassy eyes, slurred speech, delayed speech, and of course she told them she hadn't been drinking at all. Two officers asked her to perform some standardized field sobriety tests, which she failed miserably, and showed signs of impairment during the ones that she did complete. When they tested her blood, You want to take a stab at this one, Tanner? So they've got this woman who's trying to get people to blow into her interlock device. She's obviously drunk. They give her the field sobriety tests. Then they give her the blood alcohol test. It's 0.08, right, is the limit just about everywhere. Okay, so what do you think this woman blew when she blew into the device?
I'm going to go 0.24, which would be, what is that, three times the legal limit?
That's so exactly right.
Loaded, but mm-hmm. not enough to like be like alcohol poisoning or anything like that.
0.351.
Oh, man, that's like...
I mean,
it's like four times the legal limit. Holy
yeah.
Smokes.
Uh-huh. So and she's she was in the car trying to get people to blow into the interlock so she could drive. And she's already at a 0.351, which, like I said, I mean, my first inclination is to just, you know, make merciless fun of her. But this is not funny. This is tragic. I mean, that level of alcoholism where you are at 0.351 and you're still looking to drive. The question I have is, isn't an interlock supposed to stop you from even being able to start the car? And does the fact that it was running when the cops got there, and I ask you that out of total ignorance because I've never had any experience at all with an interlock device. I haven't even had friends who have had them. I have friends who probably should have, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, does it just stop you from putting it in drive? Can you like start the car? Or does that mean that somebody actually did, that she actually found somebody to blow into the interlock device for her? Either one of those is not a great answer, but I would like to know. If you have any experience with these or you know somebody who had to have an interlock device, what physically does it do to stop you from driving? And can you get the car started without blowing into the interlock device if there's one on there? If you know, 803-0930, text it in if you want, or you can call in. Joe Beamer, by the way, coming up after the top of the hour. He's got a great program, I'm sure, lined up for your Wednesday afternoon. Joe, what's going on?
Hey, John. You know, unfortunately, I think that that means someone had to have blown into that.
You think that's what I was thinking.
Because
yeah.
I can't imagine what else it would do. If I think you could turn the car on for like the radio, but I think to get that engine cranked, you have to have right. you have to pass it.
Yeah, to get it to actually fire up.
Which means what do you charge that person with?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh wow.
You know?
I hadn't even thought of it. Yeah, is that a crime? If you assist somebody in drunk driving, is it like conspiracy to drink and drive?
There's gotta be something. Because wow. that's had to have come across a court before.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know?
Because I, the way I conceptualize that is it's a buddy.
Yeah.
You know, you're out drinking with your buddies and you know the car's not going to start. So you get the DD for your other guys to come over and blow into your interlock and everybody knows each other. She's just going up to random strangers to do it.
That's insane.
And if she got one of them to do it, that's even worse. Oy.
Yeah. Oh, I hope there's some law because there's a reason there's an interlock to begin with. Uh-huh. You don't want to be assisting with the bad behavior.
But, right. And of course, she had the interlock because of previous drunk driving.
Yeah, yeah. She has a history. She obviously hasn't learned her lesson.
No.
John, on the show today, it is Wednesday. So it's Wednesday with a Democrat. Mm-hmm. Now, I am going to get people are going to be critical of this. But we do have a registered Democrat as the guest.
Okay. It sounds like there's a proviso in this.
But he didn't run as a Democrat because...
Oh,
so
right.
Erie County Clerk Mickey Kearns will be our Democrat. He volunteered. And, you know, I take volunteers, John.
Sure.
He volunteered. He will be our Democrat this week.
I'm an independent. I'm ineligible.
Right, right. but since he's a registered Democrat and he did run in the Democrat primary for clerk, he was elected as a Republican. He fits the mold. And we're going to talk with him about the one thing I want to talk about. The sinking poll numbers. Again, it's not like the Republican Party is the most popular thing in town, but the Democrats are sinking at a greater rate. From someone who has seen it from both ends, I'd love to know what the clerk says. We're going to talk about that and some other things. He obviously has some stuff going on in the clerk's office we want to talk about. And then the story you've been talking about, this shooting in Minneapolis. Yeah. You know, I'm like you. I'm not going to rush to believe everything I see on social media. I'll wait for them to tell us in a press conference what we know. And I'm guessing we'll probably find out some more things as the show goes on.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's more information coming out, you know, almost on the 15 minutes, you know, on the quarter hour. We're getting more stuff. So, yeah, I'll be listening in all afternoon just so that I can get, you know, keep myself up to speed with all of this as well. That I'm sure is going to be a big part of it. And you always find all kinds of good trouble to get into. So
Yeah. You know, on a lighter topic, obviously, we want to keep our eyes on that. And anything that comes out, we will bring it to you. I know the listeners are going to think this. I have a request out to the county executive. He is in Minneapolis. Now, I know he doesn't.
Oh, wow.
I know he doesn't like me, but for news, it wouldn't be anything else than just what is going on there, what's going on at the conference. So I have a request out, not holding my breath, but just to have, you know, some from the scene. Again, we wouldn't make this a political thing. This would be a, what are you hearing? What are you seeing? You're in the same town this is going on. But something else that came, and this is before, this morning, Brian and Susan were talking to David Bellavia before a show.
Yeah.
And Brian Mazeroski brought up a question. And now, no one else might think, I think this is a great point. Cracker Barrel, going back to the old logo.
Yeah.
He said, what if in 06, the Buffalo Sabres, they released the slug and social media was around in the form that it is today?
Oh, man.
Would they have ever played a game in those slug jerseys? And you know what, John? I go, that is a brilliant topic.
Yeah.
Because how many things, if you think back, would have never seen the light of day if social media was there to get an instant reaction?
Wow. It is. It's such a different world that we live in right now. And it's also a world that throws temper tantrums over things like corporate logos. So I'm still trying to wrap my brain around
that one. Like I told you, the logo's not what I was upset about. I was upset that the Sunrise Sampler was not on the menu.
I heard you talking about that. Yes. Now, a couple of other things to quickly update. You know from the Rhode Island deputy AG who was drunk. And
yes,
you know,
I'm an AG.
And they ended up arrest. We now know what happened to her.
Okay.
She has not been fired. She is still a deputy attorney general, at least for the time being. But I think they're doing kind of a soft firing on her. Mm. They suspended her without pay for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
So effectively, that's telling her you really want to quit.
Yeah.
You really want to quit and go work for somebody else. Because, I mean, who could survive?
Exactly. I mean, even Dave Ramsey says you need 3 months,
you need three
6 months,
months. That's right.
I mean, unless she's going to be like Joe Beamer and do a lot of DoorDashing, I don't know how she's going to sustain.
Yep. The funny thing is, I mean, all of the headlines are mentioning the one thing that she kept saying over and over again to the cop, which is, you're going to regret this. I don't think the cop's going to regret it.
No.
I'm pretty sure she does.
Two mistakes she made, saying that the cop's going to regret that, and saying she was an AG. WBEN would never come out of my mouth.
No.
If a cop ever had to come up to me and talk to me, I would never bring up that I was Joe. I would say I'm Tom Bowerly.
I'm Grayson. I just fill in. It's fine. Yeah. And for two reasons. Number one, it's stupid because you're letting everybody know. I mean, now you're on tape saying that out loud. But number two, there is no more galling phrase to come out of somebody's mouth than, don't you know who I am?
It's the worst.
We've
run into that in this industry, and that's, it just makes it even worse when you've seen it firsthand.
Absolutely. We were talking about this a little while ago, about an hour ago. Have you seen the absolute disaster that is Burning Man this year?
Oh, no.
Oh, Lord.
I have not.
Monsoon winds, flooding. The orgy tent blew down. I mean, that was kind of a big deal. So, you know, can't have Burning Man if you
know. The whole thing's over. What are you talking about?
But again, this isn't the first time. I mean, it was either last year or the year before that it was also an unmitigated weather disaster like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always, you know, a bunch of smelly hippies out in the desert, which, I would have gone. There was a point in my life where I would have gone for that. That point is now gone because I'm not doing that.
No, but you know what? John, I'm the kind of person, I never say never, because if the lineup is amazing.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? If the lineup is something
for the music,
you'll never see back to back to back.
Okay. Like,
I would never go to Lollapalooza, but
Have you been to any of those?
No.
My son goes to Bonnaroo, which is Manchester, Tennessee. It's southeast of Nashville. He goes to Bonnaroo every year. And the problem they had last year was it was brutally hot. I mean, brutally. Like, feels like temperatures in the one teens. And yeah, so he was like, I think if I do this again, I'm going to get a hotel room nearby and not camp.
Yeah. I went to Ozfest one year. Or Mayhem Fest. It might have been like a supposed to be Ozfest, but called something else at Darien Lake. Five Finger Death Punch.
Okay.
Airborne when they were first coming out. Disturbed.
Good lineup.
Slipknot was the headline of all this. But they had two stages out in the parking lot. And then at night, you go to the main stage at Darien Lake. That was fun. But By the time Slipknot came on, John, I wasn't enjoying this because I was yeah. And this is when I was in my early 20s. I was already half asleep.
Yeah, I've been to single or double bill concerts like that with bands that I like that have played too long, and I find myself going, "Oh man, guys, come on, let's get to the encore, shall we?"
Speaking of that, another thing that we might not get to today, but I want to get to before the week's over, because Tanner and I are doing one hit wonder bumps this week. Have you ever seen a one hit wonder?
Oh, yeah.
Like 10, 20 years after the one hit.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do they play that hit?
Oh, yeah. Like over their career, how many times have they had to play that song?
When you see them.
Oh, once.
Okay. Have you ever heard of Men Without Hats?
Yeah, sure.
You know, the safety dance?
Safety dance.
They open and close with the safety dance and do like two songs in the middle.
Oh, that's great. All right. Joe Beamer is coming up right after the top of the hour. Hey, in case you missed it, way early on in the show, in fact, kicking off the show today, we had a conversation with a young man by the name of Aiden Jerome. He is the young Marine who did such heroic things in the aftermath of the bus crash that happened last Friday. If you missed that, if you weren't around with us early on in the show, please go to the Odyssey app at some point today when you've got, 15, 20 minutes to yourself and give that a listen. Not for me, for him. He was incredible, and it's such a great story. If you need to have your faith in humanity restored, go check that out. Really, really proud of that. Really, really proud to have somebody like him in our area. Buffalo, have yourself a great remainder of the day listening to Joe Beamer. And who knows when you and I, when shall we three meet again? We do not know, but at some point we will. And love you. Take care.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.